2 Samuel chapter 9 from verse 1 onwards. Now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "At your service." Then the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There's still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lo Debar." Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lo Debar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Oh, then David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." Then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest, that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons." Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. Praise be to God. Now, the Lord had us read the whole chapter for a reason. We're going to go to verse 1, but I want to share with you something that the Holy Spirit wants me to share with you today. Now, you look at the relationship between Jonathan and David. Jonathan and David were very good friends, a friend that David could really rely on, a friend that showed himself to be a friend of David, a friend that was given by God to David. When you find favor in the eyes of God, there's a prophecy, write it down. When you find favor in the sight of God, God will raise someone from the household of the enemy to favor you. When you find favor in the sight of God, God will raise someone from the household of the enemy to favor you. What does it mean? When David was faithful to God and he went against Goliath, against all of the Philistines, he was so young, but he said, "I'm going to go. Not because I'm going to die, no, but because I know my God lives." He was a young man of faith, unshakable faith, because he walked with God. Now, walking with God, write this down. Walking with God requires humility. Write it in big, bold letters. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Who will be blessed right here, over here on earth? Who will be prosperous monetarily, physically, in every way, relationally? Who? The one person who is humble. They are humble, not just say, "Oh, I'm just humble." No, they humbly walk with God. Understand this. Those who humbly walk with God will also be humble before men. There's no such thing as humility before God and then, you know, I'm my own person, you know, before men and have an attitude. And if someone says something, I'm not gonna listen. No. That actually shows the height of pride that is inside. It's manifestation of a pride. The moment someone has a feeling that I'm not gonna listen, I'm not gonna listen, I'm gonna do my own thing, that's manifestation of pride. Pride is a trait of Lucifer. It's not a trait of God. A child of God should not manifest pride. So that's something that a believer should put away, put off the works of the flesh. Pride is a big one. When it comes to the works of the flesh, pride is a big one. If we want to reflect God, we have to put away pride. If we really want to walk with God, we have to put away pride. Only those who put away pride can walk with God. Not anyone and everyone, understand. So if you want to have favor with God and man, which is a real thing, if you have favor with God, you will have favor with man. So the smartest thing for someone to do is to focus on one's relationship with God. Have favor with God. Receive God's favor. How can you receive God's favor? The fear of the Lord will cause us to receive God's favor. Wherever we turn, we can actually get favor from God. I've experienced that in my life in an abundant measure. Every turn I go, I have received God's favor, and I'm a living testimony for that. From the grocery shopping to a phone call I make, God has caused me to experience abundant favor. Abundant favor. You know why? Because I walk with God and I have the favor of God. Every single one of you can have that. In order to walk with God, we need to wear humility as our garment. That means we need to take off filthy garment called pride. Family pride, educational pride, pride of oneself. Oh, I look like this. Oh, I talk like this. Oh, I come from this. Oh, my background is this. They're all called filthy rags. Those are called filthy rags. Pride is a filthy rag. And whatever type of pride you may have, they're all filthy rags. We cannot wear that beautiful, glorious garment called humility unless we put away that filthy rag or those filthy rags called pride and manifestation of whatever form of pride that is. Oh, my wife says something, I'm not going to listen. Oh, what is it called? What do you call that? Filthy rag called pride. Oh, my husband says that I'm going to do the opposite. What is it called? Filthy rag called pride. Oh, if my child comes and says something, maybe points out that what you're doing is wrong, I'm not going to pay attention to that because I'm wearing filthy rag called pride. Oh, my pastor says something. Oh, I'm not going to listen to that. You know why? Because you're wearing a garment called pride, filthy rag. It's all stinky, torn, disgusting rag, pride. Family pride, a national pride, whatever pride that pride is a curse. It pushed Lucifer from heaven. Only one thing we can be. Thankful to God and have that satisfaction and the confidence. It is through God. Through God, I'm number one. Through God, I can do valiantly. Through God, I will overcome. Through God. But if you take away the through God, you're zero. So when you have the through God, automatically you know that He is the source of everything. I have nothing to boast about. Everything I have is from Him, of Him, through Him, for Him. It has to be that order. If it is not from Him, for Him, through Him, and for Him, or from Him, through Him, and for Him, then I'm wearing that filthy garment called pride, and everywhere you go, you may act like you're tough, but you know what? Everywhere you go, everybody knows that that stink is coming out of you. Pride. Nobody wants to be around a proud person. You know that? And when nobody wants to be around a proud person, then that builds like more anger. And it makes the garment even more stinkier. Because that makes the person to become even more prideful and more resentful. What is happening? More dirt. You're accumulating more and more and more and more dirt. God says today, take it off. I'll give you a good bath. Take it off. Taking off pride is your job. And going to God and saying, God, wash me like a little child would go. It was all messy all over. A two-year-old. But the mother comes in, picks up the child and goes, takes the child to the bathtub and gives the child a bath. Your job. We're not two-year-olds here. Taking the filthy garment is our job. God says, put away the works of the flesh. Put away the works of the flesh. If you want me to call you as my son and my daughter, leave away that which is unclean. Put away. It's your job. Now you put away, that's what you call as repentance. Repentance is turning away from one's sin and turning towards God. Not just saying, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. What a wretched sinner I am. I'm sorry, Lord. And then what? Do the same old thing. It's just a hypocrite that comes and talks and goes. God is not interested in words, even though he will hear it. But he wants to do, what are you going to do after you cried about it? What are you going to do after you said sorry about it? Let me see if it is genuine from your heart. When it is genuine, you will follow through with it. And so, putting away is our responsibility. God is speaking to our hearts. We need to be responsible for our actions. We need to be responsible for what we've done. And we need to take responsibility and fix it. Pride is one such thing. We borrowed it from Satan, didn't we? We need to throw it away. God wants to give us his brand new nature called humility. We throw away Satan's junk and we receive the nature of Christ. Humility is part of the nature of Christ. When we put on that garment, we will earn favor with God. Now you look at Jonathan and David's relationship. Jonathan was someone who was very loyal to David. Do you know how Jonathan's heart really turned towards David? God raised up Saul's son, the son of the enemy of David, to favor David. This is a prophecy God is giving. If a man's ways would please the Lord, he would make even his enemies to be at peace with him. So God raised Jonathan from Saul's house, who would actually say, I'm not going to listen to what Saul says, because Saul's ways are not right. And he favored David. And Jonathan recognized the anointing of God that was upon David's life when his father did not. Because of that, he knew, I know one day you're going to become the king. And he made David make a promise to him one day. Even though Jonathan was a royal prince and David was not. Jonathan was an heir to Saul's throne, but he knew in his heart, unless God puts a man in that throne, he cannot sit by himself. And he believed in the God who sees. And he knew that God was with David. He knew that wherever David went, even though his dad was bent on killing David, he knew that David cannot be touched by his father, even though his father was a king. Do you have that kind of a faith that Jonathan had? Everything looked opposite for David. David was anointed by God. He didn't go around telling everybody, hey, one day I'm going to be the king. Saul, you didn't go and talk to Saul. You're trying to kill me? You know when I was there in my father's house, Prophet Samuel came and he anointed me and I am your replacement. He didn't go and threaten him. While he was playing his harp in the king's palace. He was not manipulating the king every time he was playing. Hey, I'm eyeing your throne. No. He was not like that. He went and did his job and he came back. A man who was really, really humble. He was not after the things of the world. I said this before through the Holy Spirit, and I will say this again as the Spirit of the Lord wants me to. To those who will deliberately put away name and fame will come looking for them because God will give it to them. The fear of the Lord will bring riches, honor, and life. That's a promise from God. When we fear God and we put away name, we put away fame, we put away earthly things, we say, this is not what I want. I want Jesus. I want only Jesus. The byproduct is automatically what you don't want will come to you, which is riches, honor, and fame. Riches, fame, and life, long life, will come to you. It'll come to those who don't go after it. But to those who go after it, they'll be chasing after it like they're chasing after the wind. Nothing to hold, wasting their entire lives on something that is immaterial. Very temporary, which will fade away like the flower of the grass. But to those who will seek God and his kingdom first, riches, honor, and life will come following them. Now you see over here, Jonathan made a covenant with David, knowing that this young man, even though he's hunted like an animal by my father, he's not going to be killed. My father's going to die. And he knew that because of what my father did, I know that I'm not going to be sitting there. He's more righteous than me. He's going to sit on the throne. Now, if Jonathan would have left his father, if he would have parted with his father, and if he would have joined David, and if he would have gone with David, and if he would have banded together with David, taken that extra step, and if he would have been part of David's group, Jonathan, he would not have been killed. David would have become the king, just like how God promised, and Jonathan could have been somewhere near David, you know, as his right-hand man. But Jonathan was very helpful to David, yet he did not fully cut off his family ties. He stayed there in the palace. He went with his father, and when his father died, he too died. When we come to God, we have to take caution. Whatever tie that is there, we need to break those off if we really want to inherit everything that God wants us to. Now, because he took the stand to an extent in his father's house, he died, but his son received mercy from David. David kept his covenant with Jonathan. But if he would have left his dad and if he would have been with David, God would have protected Jonathan for sure because of God's covering over David. The curse that came from his dad wouldn't have touched Jonathan. God is speaking to our hearts today. If you want to be under the covering of the Almighty God, if you really want to be untouched by the harm that is out there, put God first in your life. Let first things be first in your life. And in that, put on humility as a garment. David had humility as his garment. And as a result, God gave the son of the enemy to be his friend. He had someone from the palace who was giving information every time as to what the enemy was doing or about to do. Favor from God and man is necessary. If we have favor with God, we will have favor with man. Understand that. We will be hated by all men for my sake, Jesus said, but that is for the sake of the gospel. A child of God will receive God's favor. It's never going to be like, oh, because you became a Christian, you're grumpy all the time and everybody doesn't like you because you're grumpy. No. A true Christian will be a joyful Christian. A true Christian will be a peace-loving Christian. A true Christian will be a Christian who takes a stand for the truth. Because of the truth, some people may not like, which is true. Light and darkness will not go together. However, the favor of the Lord will still shine through. Yes, in Potiphar's house, it will still shine through. In the prison, it will still shine through. Even in the pit, it'll still shine through. All of a sudden, one of the brothers will come and show favor and pull Joseph out of the pit. So the favor of the Lord comes from God. When we have favor with God, we will also have favor with man. That's a guarantee. Understand? David had favor with God and man. And so we see Jonathan dies here as a result of being with Saul. And David is asking this question. Is there anybody left in Jonathan's family that I may show kindness to him? Because Jonathan had made a covenant with David and asked him, remember my family, remember my generation. And David, when he became the king, he didn't say, oh, I became the king. I don't have to worry. You know, Jonathan is dead. And I assume that everybody's dead in their family. And he didn't just let it go. He made sure that he will send the people and inquire about Jonathan and see if there's anyone left. He made that effort to show kindness, to keep his promise. Your promise to God is important first. Then within that is the promise to men. There are people who say, oh, I made a promise to men, so I'm going to leave church and I'm going to run somewhere else. Your promise to God is very important. If your promise to God is broken and you run to keep promise to men, it's an abomination to God at that point. Satan has taken over your relationship and over everything. So your promise to God, you have to keep. And then within God, your promise to man. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to our hearts today. David remembered the promise he made to Jonathan. And David says, can you bring someone who's there? Just go find. And people have said, we don't think so. And then one person comes up and he says, oh, you know what? Yes. David's son is there. Mephibosheth is there. He's lame in his feet. He can't walk. David didn't say, oh, what an eyesore. I don't want to keep him in the palace. And, you know, a lame person in my, no. He said, bring him to me. And he said, he shall sit at my table. It's another prophecy God is speaking today. Regardless of what your background is, regardless of what has happened to you, you may be like Mephibosheth. You may feel like, God, my legs are gone. The help that I thought I was going to get is gone. The source that I was depending on, it's gone. My dad is gone. My mom is gone. There's a nurse that carried me to safety. All of a sudden, she dropped me. Now my legs are gone. You may be like that. Lord, everything is gone. I feel like everything is gone. Understand this. God has mercy on you. And it is God's time to show you favor. Mephibosheth was like that. He was lame in his legs. He was there. He was lame in his feet and he was there for some time. But all of a sudden the time came when David became the king. In God's time, David moves to show mercy to Jonathan's son. This is God's time of favor. Your life might have been broken. You might have been crushed beyond recognition. This is a prophecy God is speaking to you. Everything may look like, you know what? It's not going to move forward. The legs are gone. It's not going to move forward. I can never walk. But the Spirit of the Lord says, He carries them on eagle's wings. And he brings them to the table of the Lord, to David's table. And he said, this is where you're going to be and this is where you're going to eat. May God speak to your hearts today. No matter how hopeless your situation may look, no matter how handicapped you may feel, the Spirit of the Lord says, he takes the solitary and he sets them in families. He sets them with the princes of the earth. That means God gives a high status in the midst of the unbelievers. He raises his people. The horn of the righteous shall be exalted above the horn of the wicked. He raises the people of God who are faithful to him in the society. He places them above, far above. I believe that. I've seen that in my life. You put him first, he'll put you first. When you put him first, you'll automatically go first. You know why? Because your whole goal becomes Jesus. And he delights in you, you delight in him. What a beautiful relationship that is. Mephibosheth lost everything. He lost his legs, he lost his family, and he lost his status as a prince in the palace. Now he's somewhere in hiding, fearing for his life, knowing that some other king took over, that too. The very man that his grandfather hated and wanted his life has become the king. God remembered what Jonathan did for David. And David remembered what Jonathan did for him. David remembered God used Jonathan in my life. And David, as a man of God, showed much kindness to Jonathan's family. Mephibosheth's life was broken. He never thought he would ever enter into the palace ever again. Never. All his dreams would have gone. He was crushed beyond recognition. He was no longer the prince. He didn't have a father. He didn't have a family. Just a nurse who took him. And she tried her best to help him, but she couldn't, and she dropped him off. She dropped him to the ground. That's how the boy who had good legs lost that. Now he is a handicapped young man sitting there, dependent on someone to get him something, to do something, whatever. He is dependent, totally dependent on somebody else, someone else's mercy. Imagine a royal son, grandson. Now he becomes an ordinary citizen. That too, a handicapped citizen. No more to enjoy the power and the luxury that came from the palace. All of a sudden, he's not only a common citizen, but a handicapped common citizen. Someone who is among the disadvantaged. Let me tell you, God's eyes is all over the place looking for the broken. Looking for the broken. And we say, God, I'm broken. I'm like Mephibosheth. Lord, I am like Mephibosheth, but I know you can change my life. If you can do that for Mephibosheth, if you can bring him to the table of the king. And the king said that every single day, this is where Mephibosheth is going to be. It wasn't a one-time dinner. No, you put him where Mephibosheth was before. Even though Mephibosheth was not qualified at this point because he did not belong to David's family, you call that mercy. This is what Jesus did on the cross. We who are once the children of God because we're made in the image of God, because of sin, lost our right standing with God, no longer in the palace. Our legs gone. The palace gone. Everything we leaned on gone. Now we're sitting in one corner only to face doom and despair and not knowing what is going to happen. Pretty much everything is dark and there's no hope I'm ever going to come out of this. Nobody's interested in me. Nobody wants to talk to me. Everybody has legs and they all go and get their work done because somebody has to work. And he is alone in the house, sitting, staring at the walls, handicapped. thinking at his state, God came through for Mephibosheth. He didn't leave him there. God used David. David came and took him from there. Put him back in the palace. That's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to take you from where you are. And he wants to bring you back to the palace. It's different now. Because what you had before may not be there. That wasn't good anyway. It's good that Saul is not there. But you have David there on the throne. You have God there with David. He's with the righteous man of God sitting at his table. Every day eating with David. What a privilege. When God turns away the captivity of Zion, it looks as if we just saw a dream. But it's reality. That's what God does for his people. To those whose hearts are loyal towards him, suddenly the change will come. Suddenly the favor of God will come. To those whose hearts are loyal towards him and who say, God, I just want you and nothing else. To those people, suddenly the favor of the Lord will come. Suddenly, his garment of mourning will be taken away. Suddenly, he'll be taken to the table of the king. Imagine how Mephibosheth would have felt. Oh, I don't know why David is calling. I don't know. Maybe he's going to kill me. I'm the only one left in the king's family. And the king hated David and he wanted David's life all his life. But look at the surprise he had when he went to the king's palace. He was comforted there. That's what God will do for you. If you keep your eyes on Jesus and say, Lord, I want to really change. I want to eat at your table. I want to sit in your presence. I don't want anything else. And you make Jesus Christ as your hiding place, as your refuge. When you see everything around you fall apart, you know the only pillar you can lean on is Jesus, and he's the solid pillar that will never be moved. And you make him your hiding place. He will give you a place at his table. This is a prophecy God is speaking. You want to have a place at his table? You want to have a place at his table? Do that which is pleasing to God. Mephibosheth had a place at David's table. You know why? Because of Jonathan, his father. David didn't call any random lame person over there, bring them to here. No, he called Jonathan's son because Jonathan's heart was loyal towards David. And Jonathan was an upright man before God. You do that which is right before God. God will help you. He will favor you. He will favor your family. He will favor your generation. A righteous man or a righteous person walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. God is speaking to you today. God will not forget what you have done if you don't erase it with evil. God is looking for those whose hearts are loyal towards him. When your heart is loyal towards him, he himself will favor you. He himself will move people to come and help you. He himself will move people to come and help you. God is a God of wonders and a God of miracles. I want to take you to Deuteronomy 28 before we close tonight. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28 and I will bring you to Psalm 1 and we will close tonight as the Holy Spirit wants us to. If we want to have a life that will be God honoring, then we need to follow the scriptures. We need to give heed, wear humility as our garment, take away or put off the filthy rags called pride, and do that which God has commanded to do. not search God or seek God my own way. That's pride, and that's not acceptable before God. The Bible says God looks at the proud man from far away. That means stay there. Don't come near me. But the humble, he shows grace and mercy. So let's go to Deuteronomy 28, and we shall read from verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to carefully observe all his commandments. Underline, highlight the words that I'm going to say right now. Just underline it, because the emphasis is placed on those particular words in these scriptures. So it's very important, as the Holy Spirit brings those up, just highlight it or mark it or write in your notes so that you can look it up. What will happen if you diligently obey? So underline the word diligently and the word obey. How will you obey? You have to diligently obey. Not if you will obey. Obeying is good. But if you really want to inherit the promises of God, it's only for those who diligently obey. So write the words diligently obey, or underline the words diligently obey. The voice of the Lord your God, whose voice you have to diligently obey? God's voice. So you underline the word, the Lord, your God. That means he has to be my God. That relationship needs to be there. So my obedience to God is not going to be a legalistic, faithless, simply I got to do because he told me to do, no, but a relationship which is really, really based out of my love for God and faith in him, and therefore I obey him. When we diligently obey the voice of the Lord, our God, next, to observe carefully. Observe how? Underline the word carefully and underline the word all. Very important. How do you have to do it? Carefully in all of his commandments. If someone comes and lie to you and say that nobody can keep God's commandments, tell them goodbye and close the door. That's Lucifer speaking through whatever degree they may have, or a lot of degreeless people also speak. Doesn't matter. Satan can use, just like the Spirit of the Lord can use people with degrees and without degrees, Satan can use people with degrees and without degrees. Doesn't matter. The bottom line is, they are agents of Lucifer. Read your Bible. Who will God bless? Those who will diligently obey, number one, and who will observe carefully all his commandments. So we need to be diligent in obeying, and be very careful in observing, keeping all his commandments. When we do that, the promises, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. What is his promise? You're not going to be second to someone. No, you will not be second to anyone. God will place you high above all the nations of the earth. That's the promise. So a child of God, if a child of God is really a child of God, that means diligently obeying the voice of the Lord, observing carefully what God has said, that means that child of God will continuously keep going up and up and up and up and up, and whatever field that is, they'll be the topmost person there. Whatever business they have, they will be the topmost there. Or their business will be the topmost there, that's out there, if they will be diligent in obeying. Be careful in observing what God has said. If God becomes the most important to you, then you'll become the most important to God. If you put him second equals last, then he will put you last. That's how it works. God is speaking to us today. God is looking for truth in the inward parts. He's not going to entertain deceivers and fools who will come and try to waste his time. No. God is looking for truth in the inward parts, and he's looking for those whose hearts are loyal towards him. He's scanning. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. He's scanning to see whose hearts are loyal towards him. God is looking for those whose hearts are loyal towards him, even in our church. Wherever you are, in your home, he's looking to see who is loyal towards me out of all this. Who is the most diligent here out of all of this? Let God's people arise. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you can have 3 people who are loyal towards him. You can have 30 people who are loyal towards him. You can have 300 people. You can have 3,000 people. You can have 300,000 people whose hearts are loyal towards him. It's not that only somehow one can be. No. Whoever wants to be loyal, they can be loyal towards him. You want to be true? You can be true. You want to play double game? You are going to play double game. The choice is yours. Choice to be holy is yours. Choice to be loyal towards God is yours. Choice to play games is yours. Choose either day whom you will serve. Choose. Choice is yours. Now, so he is giving you the highlight of the promise, he says. If you honor my word, and you're really careful to do what I've said, if this is your priority, he says, I'll put you high above every other nation. God is true to his word. His promise is true. There's a price to pay. Remember that. Every choice that you make, you have to choose to please God. Is it hard? No. If you love him, it's not hard. If you trust him, it's not hard. It's like that you will do it because it comes out of your heart. When your relationship is rocky, then it's going to be hard. When you really don't love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, then oh, it's going to be struggle. It's going to be struggle to obey God. You know, I heard so many people saying it's such a struggle to obey God. It's such a hard thing. Oh, when I see that, when I hear that, I say, yeah, it would be if you don't love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It will be a struggle, obviously. If you really love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, then you will do anything. Nobody needs to make you do something. You will automatically do it. It has to come from here. As you walk with him, the love from God will flow into you, and there's an exchange that takes place where his love flows into you and it flows back to him. That's how you can really love him with everything that is within you. He's lovable. He's all lovable. He's the only one who is all lovable. Do you know what? You really do extraordinary things for God. You receive from him and give it back to him. And he gives you more. You give it back to him. He gives you even more. You give it back to him. He gives you even more. You give it back to him. There's nothing more glorious than that. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses soul? Saul had other sons, but only Jonathan's son received this favor. Every one of them died. God spared this one because God showed favor. We must understand favor comes from God. And when he favors us, he will give favor in the sight of man. God will bless us. You can read the rest of Deuteronomy 28. I would encourage you to read chapter 28 and also continue to read the rest of the verses beyond verse 14, which also states the curse of those who choose to despise and disobey the voice of God. If you do not obey the voice of God, the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, then a whole bunch of curses are there. Now you tell me how dare someone can come and say that God didn't give the commandments for us to keep. You're saying God is a monster, so he wants to curse us? May God be true and every man a liar. Every single person who speaks for Lucifer, the curse of God will rest upon them. Who portray God as an unjust evil monster in the name of grace, God's curse will rest upon them and their generation. God is all love, yet all just. He is all love, yet he's a consuming fire. He blesses his people with his blessing. At the same time, to those who play, those who treat the grace of God with contempt, who don't carefully observe God's curse that he has mentioned in Deuteronomy 28 will also become theirs by default. So if you want to get yourself out of the curse that is here by default, or if you are in some delusion saying that God is always law, he will never do this, he is never going to curse, read the Bible. He is God Almighty. He's not a Santa Claus that comes on December 25th or 24th. He's God Almighty. When we have a crooked, twisted view of who this God Almighty who made the heaven and earth is, we will play with his grace. He's all loving at the same time. When his wrath comes, it is real wrath. No one can stand before that. Today, God is speaking to our hearts. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. That means if you truly experience the grace of God, you'll be someone who will hate evil. You're not going to turn towards evil. You will turn the other way. The grace of God will teach you to say no to ungodliness. I'm simply stating scripture. God showed mercy to Mephibosheth because of Jonathan. God will show mercy to you and your generation if you will live an upright life. And the blessing that God has in Deuteronomy 28 will become yours. God will place you above every nation on the face of the earth. Your generation will go up as pure and holy generation, like Daniel in Babylon, Joseph in Egypt, untouched by the world, ruling the world with righteousness and with the Spirit of God. God is looking for such people. God brought David up here. And through David, God brought Mephibosheth there. But in the middle, we see Jonathan, who truly loved David more than a brother. You see how David lamented when Jonathan died. Do you know what? With all the love he had, if Jonathan would have taken extra step, just leave the king's palace and he would have just gone to be with David, he would not have been dead. The curse of that father would not have touched him. He would have had the protection of God through David over him. There are people who go to an extent to please God, but will not go further. For them, their blessing is limited. But to those who would go after God with everything that is within them, like David, even if I have to be in the wilderness, I will run in the wilderness if God is with me. That's who David was. Jonathan was loyal to David, but he was from the palace. He didn't want to let go. Many times, many believers are like that. I will obey God. I will worship God. I'll give to God from where I am. I don't want to inconvenience myself. I want to move away from here. They will be blessed, but it's limited. But to those who will be careful in observing everything God said, diligently following him, such people will be placed above the people of the world. God will bless them with everything. And the rest of the people of the world, when they see, they will be jealous. Oh, that's a byproduct. God will keep the children of Israel so high, where those who are not God's people look and they will envy. And those who are lukewarm in God's family people, they will also envy. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be in the kingdom of God? Where do you want to be in this world? The meek will inherit the earth. Well, that's a right given by God to God's people to inherit the earth, to really be in a place where you can be of an influence, God's influence in that society. That's a right given by God to God's people who will choose to be meek. But many Christians forfeit that. If I just have something to have both ends meet, that is enough. I want to live a life that is mediocre. You can't go forward if your vision is so small. and your sight is so dim, and your desire is really not God's desire at that point, when it's so limited. God is speaking to us today. God's desire is to take man to where he brought him from, where you go and dominate your surroundings. Overcome evil with good. Let good rule over. Let the people of God be in high position and bring righteousness there. That's God's heart. But he cannot find many people. Unfortunately, you have wicked ruling over. That's why New York is like this. Connecticut is like this. United States is like this. India is like this. Most of the countries are like this. Why? Because God's people have failed to follow God 100%. There's no influence. They're of no use. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. They're all trying to do like Jonathan's work here and there, if at all. Jonathan was a good man, by the way. If a Christian comes to that level, we have to applaud them. Because most people are not even there. They're all going after Saul. Compromise. But there are very few Davids out there. Those are the ones God's put them on the throne to be an influence high above the rest of the nations. God is speaking to our hearts today. What do you want in this world? What do you want for your life? You may be thinking, oh, this is too much. I don't think, oh, you know, what is my age and what is my thing and where am I? And I don't think this is messages for me. Well, you can think all you want and give room to unbelief and sit where you are. Or you can think that even at this age or even at this place or wherever I am, God is able to change my destiny if I would give room for God to work in and through me. The choice is yours. This month is a good month where God is going to give a turnaround. It's a prophecy. God is going to give a turnaround to those who would do it God's way. You do it God's way, you will see God's results. If you do it what people call your way, which is actually Satan's way, because there's no your way, there's no middle way here, then you will reap Satan's reward, which is destruction, because that's all Satan has, steal, kill, and destroy. He cannot do anything else. In this month of July, God has given us very specific promises. Write it down and take it seriously. So, think about what you want for you in life. Why am I living? What am I trying to accomplish? How many more years do I have left on earth? And can God do something through me? Is God big or little in your life? Think about that. To what extent you follow him and obey him, to that extent his power will be revealed. If you want to be in Saul's camp, that's the end that will be. If you want to be like Jonathan, you will get Jonathan's reward. If you want to be like David, you'll get David's reward. The choice is yours. I want to leave with you this scripture that God has brought to us today. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1 from verse 1 onwards. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Make sure every day you don't do these three things. Don't get counsel from an unbeliever. Don't be where sinners are. Don't sit and listen to dirty jokes or any jokes that will put another person down, your wife down, your husband down, somebody else's husband down, or somebody else down, some politician down. Don't sit there, co-worker down. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. These are the things you should not do. Once you don't do it, that means you put away that filthy rags. Now you got to put on humility. And do what? His delight is in the law of the Lord. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. This is what Deuteronomy 28 talks about. This becomes a delight. God becomes a delight. His word becomes a delight. What he has said becomes a delight. He is my delight. That has to be. When that takes place, you're not going to go for ungodly counsel. you're not going to partner with those who partner with the demons. You're not going to sit in the seat where those who partner with the demons sit and laugh and talk dirty stuff and curse words and all those things. What business do you have with those who speak Satan's language? To those who really, really, really draw the line and they put God first and they say, I am not going to offend the Lord my God. Oh, there are people, oh, I'm a Christian, I can't offend them. Really? Who are you following? Them or God? What does Christian mean? We offend God so quickly and then try to cover it up and say, I'm not offending them because I'm a Christian and I want to have a good example. Who are we kidding? May God help us. God comes first. You can offend the whole world in order to please God. You cannot please God and man. Understand? Jesus said that. You cannot please God and man at the same time. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Let's read verse 3 together. Now the blessing comes. To who? To who does? Verse 1 and 2. Whoever is a keeper of 1 and 2 will inherit 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. In one sentence, this person is called a prosperous person all through the year, in every area of his life. Prosperity all around. Prosperity all around. Can you live like that? Yes. Can you live prosperous in your married life? Absolutely. Can you live prosperous in your financial area? Yes. In relational area? Yes. In your health? Yes. In your mind? Yes. That's God's will for you. When you really take God seriously and don't try to put him to shame. He is God. You can never put him to shame. We put ourselves to shame. You know, they have a proverb in India, in our Indian language, they'll say, when an elephant takes sand, you know, in its trunk and it throws up right over its own head. That's what we do. When we try to rebel against God, we are taking a whole bunch of sand and we're just putting it on our own head. Always remember, you're not that smart. I'm not that smart. When we stand next to God, all our wisdom is really pure zero. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to make any choice and you want to make a smart choice, do it God's way. The fear of the Lord will show you the right way you have to go. That's when his wisdom will be there. If not, this will be a zero. The wisdom of the world is devilish. It'll take us down the drain. So the person who would be prosperous all year round, in every area of their lives, will be those who would put away iniquity, put away pride, put away ungodly counsel. When something goes wrong, there are people who take the phone. First thing, call an unbeliever. First thing, they cannot sit still. Cannot. There are people who cannot sit still. Driven by demonic spirits to do something. They cannot go to God and they cannot pray and they cannot seek for godly counsel. Instead, they'll do everything else other than that. You know why? The demons in them drives them and they go with it because there's no room for God, period. God speak to hearts there. If you want to prosper in every area, make sure you make the Lord to be the Lord of your life. Then he will say, okay, now you're fit to receive my blessings. We have to understand, yes, he gives the rain on the just and the unjust. By the way, those who receive the rain, even the just and the unjust, they all have to give an account for the rain and the sunshine they've received one day. Remember, it's not free. He's merciful, but that mercy is not free, remember. We have to give an account to the Lord God who gave us that sunshine, gave us that rain. But to those who really walk with him or diligent in doing the will of God, they will rise above the tide rise above the storm, rise above the winds and the waves, and they will shine brighter than the sun. This is the promise God is giving to you. In the midst of the trouble, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of difficult situations, in the midst of pain, all of a sudden, God's light shone in the life of Mephibosheth in the midst of pain. All of a sudden, light came in darkness in the midst of that. God's light shone in the life of Mephibosheth. Mercy of God, because of what Jonathan did for David. If you are walking with God, to whatever degree you walk with, to that degree your blessing will be. Put off the filthy rag called pride and put on the garment of humility and walk with God. God will make sure that He'll place you above everyone who's out there, who's not walking with Him. So if you really want to walk with God, understand this. The first thing is humility. Put away pride. Without putting away pride, you cannot put on humility. Put away pride. That means the word I can do it. I don't want to hear anyone say anything. I will decide for myself. I know what to do. I don't want to be told. I choose what I want. All those are filthy rags. They all need to go. Not my will, let thine be done should be on our lips all the time. Those are the powerful people. Only strong people can be humble people. Understand? It takes character to be humble. And those meek people are so powerful. Jesus said they will inherit the earth. You want to dominate every sphere through the Spirit of God? Walk with Jesus with humility. And you can dominate every sphere, every area. God used a woman called Deborah to bring victory for the nation of Israel. God used a prophet called Samuel to cut Agag to pieces. God used Gideon, a man, to bring victory for his nation. God used Moses, a meek man, to make history. God used a humble virgin called Mary to bring Jesus into the world. God used a righteous man called Joseph to be an adoptive dad for Jesus in the world. God used a humble, selfless woman called Mary Magdalene to take the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the resurrection news, to the men who are sitting inside. God is looking for those whose hearts are loyal towards Him. Whether you are a man or a woman, that's not going to stop God from showing His power through you. God is only looking for one thing in common. Are you going to be faithful to Him? If you're going to be faithful, to what extent are you going to be faithful? To such people, God will reveal His power. Shall we close our eyes and look to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. 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 Eternal God, our only wise King, Creator of all, my Father in heaven, I thank you for speaking to our hearts today. One more time you spoke to your people, I know that. And for this, I give you thanks. And I praise you, Lord, for your unsearchable wisdom. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You're the God of power, the God to whom all praise and glory belong. Thank you. Thank you for bringing us into the second day of fasting and prayer. Show your people, Lord. Oh, when they put you first, they give themselves the opportunity of God revealing his power in their lives. Hallelujah. In every area they shall blossom. How Satan has deceived the church of God, the people of God, into materialism, into running after the things of this world. Run and run and run and run and run until they drop dead, only to find the eternity is gone. It's gone. In a moment, it's gone. I pray that you'll bless our church, Lord. May a church be a church that prepare itself. May a church be a church that is prepared by God through the God-given shepherds that you have placed for eternity, for eternal reward, and to have power over the prince of the air, the things of the world, not to be ruled over by material things, but to rule over material things. Not to be ruled over the desires of the flesh, but to rule over the desires of the flesh. Not to be ruled over by Satan, but to rule over Satan and his armies. To be meek people who will inherit the earth, win millions and billions of people for Jesus Christ. So I pray that you'll bless your people. Continue to strengthen them. May faith arise in the hearts of your people. No matter how old they are, no matter how young they are, no matter what their marital status is, no matter where they are, you're looking for those whose hearts are loyal towards you so that you can do wonders in them and through them. So I pray, Father, that you will touch your people at this hour. Help them to be heavenly minded, eternal. In their spirits, O Lord, that their minds may be settled in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they may not look for love anywhere else. That through your love, may they enjoy your favor and the love that comes from people around them. It may never be the other way around. So Father, I pray, touch your people right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will bestow your blessings upon your people. I pray, Father, that you'll cause their hearts to rejoice in you, knowing that they too can have favor with God and man if they would be careful to obey the Lord their God. And you too can do great and mighty things in their lives. Their children too can become everything that God wants them to be. That they too can rise up to accomplish great and mighty things for the Almighty God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Like how God did in David's life. I ask you for your special covering upon your people. This church may rise up to be a pure church, Lord. Holy church, Father. Free of pride. Free of immorality. Free of love of money. Free of love for fame. Free of any bondage of the enemy. Each person may have an upright walk before you. Their hearts may seek you and you alone. They may put away the filthy rags called pride and put on meekness, O Lord, this day, and keep it on every single day. And I thank you, Lord, for doing this. Thank you for the precious promises that you've given, O Father, that you're going to do what you did for Mephibosheth. You're going to turn away the captivity of your people. And you're going to bring them to the table of the king. One day, put you first. I thank you, Father. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. You're the God of compassion. You're the Lord of mercy. You're the Lord who rules over the kings of the kingdoms. And I thank you that you're my Father. I thank you that you are my lover. I thank you that you are my passion. I thank you that you're the one I live for. And I thank you, Lord, for the people that you've entrusted into our hands. I bring each one of them before your throne of grace. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, conform them to the image of Jesus. Let not a single one be lost, my Father. Put a hedge around them. Cause them to understand, O God. Cause them to understand, O God. Cause them to understand, O God, the glory in denying oneself, taking up their cross and following you. Cause them to understand the deception of the enemy. Cause them to understand the glory and the strength in wearing humility as their garment. And I thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Heavenly Father. We commit ourselves into your hands. And thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power that raises Jesus from the dead, which is in our midst, O Father. And I pray whoever has weakness in their hearts, whoever is going through weakness in their bodies, whoever is going through weakness in their minds, weakness, Lord, in their spirits, I ask you for your strength to descend upon them right now in Jesus' name. I ask you, Father, that you will raise them up to become everything that you want them to be. Lord, let no one be insincere in your presence. Let no one lose their crown to someone else like Saul did. Let each one hold on to what you've given and be faithful to you in multiplying what you've entrusted into their hands. Let no one get distracted, Lord. May each one understand life is too short. That when it's over, it's over. It cannot be rewritten. It cannot be redone. No matter how much we cry, we cannot go back once it's over. So I ask you, Father, write eternity in the hearts of your people. Write eternity in the hearts of your people. Let each one become wise sons and daughters of the Most High God. That they may become sweet fragrance before the Almighty God. That every life may shine as a dazzling gemstone before you, Jesus. And I give them into the mighty, keeping, loving, all-powerful hands of the Lord Jesus Christ to make them into everything that you want them to be. And I ask you, Lord, give them willing hearts. Every family, may they have willing hearts to obey you, willing hearts to serve you. Every rebellious nature be uprooted, Lord, out of their lives in Jesus' name. May they be able to see. May each one may say, I was once lost. Now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. May they find themselves in you. May they see the way that you see. And align their lives according to your perfect will. So as your servant, O Lord, I pronounce this blessing upon your people at this hour. That they may walk in the straight and narrow path, O Father, without any deviation in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That their focus may be single. That their lives, O Lord, may stand before you forever. That their names may be forever as a memorial before you. Among those will be listed as heroes and heroines of faith. So I pray that you bless your people. Cause each one to have a renewed commitment before you. A renewed faith, a renewed desire, renewed hope, renewed vision. That they may no longer look downwards, but they look upwards. May they look upwards in Jesus' name. And I bless them, Lord, this night with this blessing. May it rest upon them in Jesus' name. May your word continue to speak to your people. Let this word that you've given them this night pursue them and overtake them in the name of Jesus until they give themselves over to this word. And I thank you for doing this. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and bless us with his peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit rest and remain with us all, now and until we see Jesus face to face. Amen. Amen. Good Jesus.